Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Finding Annie. Sound the klaxon. No, really do. Sound it. That's better. Okay, let's start with a memory.
So I remember exactly when you became a mum. We were doing the annual release of the Sunshine Mix, and I think it was due for release in the spring. I got a text from you on the morning of release day at 6 a.m. saying, "It's all started, babe." And of all the days, I couldn't believe it. So I just wondered whether to carry on, whether not to carry on. Was it a little bit insensitive to be releasing a mix on exactly the same time that you were having a baby? But anyway, it was your first baby. So I assumed that you would be in labour all day. And I just cracked on as normal. But obviously, you being the most impatient person that I know, you phoned me 4 hours later, just an hour before everything was due to launch. And I thought, what the hell is Annie doing calling me while she's in labour? Anyway, I picked up the phone and it was you. And you sounded so different to how I'd ever heard you before. You were so loved up. And your beautiful baby had arrived safely. And you were just calling to tell me to crack on as normal, that you didn't want to interfere with anyone's hard work. And I think I said something along the lines of that you're a total nutter, along with all the celebrating that we were doing, and that you should get off the phone.
Okay, so that was Lucy talking about the very first time I worked and parented at the same time. Lucy is my manager and longtime friend, and she's seen it all. And yeah, that was a big day for me in many, many ways. I'll never forget it. So we've spoken about birth in series 1 of this podcast with Sarah Cox. Since I had my kids now, I've found that the hardest thing to navigate about being a parent is working. The eternal conundrum of how you work and parent at the same time and do both well. I'm still working on it. I'm still learning. I'm not sure if it's possible, but that's what this episode is about.
So the first thing you need to do when you go back to work is find someone to look after your kid. That could be a childminders, it could be a nursery, it could be a nanny share, it could be a nanny. In my case, it was a nanny. So
you got to find someone you trust, someone who loves your kid but doesn't overly love them and understands the bond between you and your kid and knows when to give you space to have that bond. Someone who is fun, someone who can sit on the floor and play with them and not have their face in their phone all the time. That's your job. Only joking, kind of not. Someone who can cook for them, someone who can remember about their homework. All of this shit that you need someone to be able to be good at, as well as someone who can be in your house and you can be an idiot in front of, flaws and all, and not mind. So that's really hard. When you do find that person, it is fucking nectar from the gods. It's the best feeling in the world. The next thing you have to navigate then is your kid, and you have to deal with their emotions of you leaving them. And that's really hard because they have no kind of value for money. If you say, "Oh, I need to go make money," they're like, "Fuck money, let's go to the playground." You know, they're 2, they don't care. So the thing that I've found the easiest about that is just kind of the repetition of leaving and coming back, and always telling them and teaching them that you're going to always come home no matter what, and them kind of understanding that and them getting calmer and calmer with you going like as you do it. So that's that. Then your kid's happy, your childcare's good, and you're ready to work. Once you work, then it's a constant navigation of people at work understanding that you have other things and you can't maybe commit to work in quite the way, the 110% way that you did before. You can't go out till super late every night. You can't go the extra mile. You can only work between these hours. You know, that's a constant thing that I'm still learning as well. But yeah, it's something that I'm always doing, working and parenting. It's the biggest thing that I do right now, and the thing that's most at the top of my head is those 2 hats that I wear all the time. My dad worked away from home for most of my childhood. He was working from about 4 to 5 days a week, and he worked in England and he hated it. I've learned that in retrospect, but at the time I don't have any memories of kind of a big loss or a big kind of gaping hole in my life where my dad should have been in those weekdays. I remember him coming home and bringing chocolate bars for us, and that being a really big deal for us. So the anticipation of him coming home. And I remember my mom kind of being there all the time. And even when I was old enough to go to school, she then went back to her job as a primary school teacher, working in the same primary school that I was in. So she was always a presence, even when she was a working parent, which was very, very lucky for me, obviously. We are lucky in the UK that maternity leave exists. In America, there is no federal law at all guaranteeing women or men paid time off after they have a baby. Instead, they leave it up to employers. So this survey from 2016 said that more than 40% of companies choose not to offer any paid maternity leave at all. So more than 40% of companies don't give you maternity leave. So not only do you have to navigate fucking getting pregnant and having a baby, right? Then getting childcare, you have to be working at the right company that will actually pay you for maternity leave. It's next level. It never even occurred to me that maternity leave wasn't a given in all countries. America is the only country in the Western world that doesn't guarantee any paid maternity leave, by the way. So fuck you, America. Get with it. Come on, you're America. The extreme opposite of this, by the way, and something I'm obsessed with and think should be emulated all over the world, is Iceland. So Iceland's parental leave laws are the bomb. They allow 9 months of leave to be divided between the parents. However, 3 months has to be taken by the mother and 3 months has to be taken by the father. And the remaining 3 months are open for both to share between them. So the mum has to take the first 2 weeks herself, like by law, I presume to encourage breastfeeding. After that, she has to take 3 months at some point in the 9 months. The dad takes 3 months at some point in the 9 months, and then they split the rest between them. So they could do like 1 week on, 1 week off for the whole time, or 1 month on, 1 month off, whatever. But it's amazing. And I'm presuming this also applies for same-sex couples or adoptive parents as well. There's also talk of Iceland extending that leave, by the way, to 12 months, with 5 months for each parent to share and then 2 months to split between them. It's amazing. It's so obvious. It should be equal from the start. All those things that kind of, in heterosexual parenting anyway, are kind of rooted from the start, where the dad goes, oh no, that's your mother's job. She knows better. She's been, you know, she's got the bond. Oh no, it's a mother's. It's like, fuck that. It shouldn't be. Like, both parents should be able from the start to spend this really precious time bonding with their kid, gaining the confidence and ability to be the best parent. And you can only do that from spending fuckloads of time with your baby when they're small. So if both parents get to do that, there's no divide. It's fully equal. It's as it should be. It is fair. Okay, rant over. There's clearly lots of work to do when it comes to parental leave. Have to talk about flexible working as well. It's next level. There needs to be more laws for people to be able to work in their own time, especially with the way that we work these days. We're all on our fucking phones anyway. There has to be more of that. And I think the more women we have in companies higher up, the more this will be kind of forced through. You know, systems where their staff have flexible hours will become more acceptable because women will be making the rules. So yes, hopefully that will happen sooner rather than later. One person who I've been discussing all this with quite a bit recently is Jessie Ware. So Jessie Ware, best known for being a singer and most recently an incredible podcaster with her podcast Table Manners that she does with her mum. She became a mum in the last few years. And she actually rang me one day and asked me, how the fuck do you do it in the music industry? How do you tour? How do you travel? How do you navigate being a parent or a mother specifically in this industry? And we talked about it a lot. And the truth is, when I had my kid, I was kind of in the prime of my DJ career, touring America, touring Australia, traveling all the time, doing residencies in Ibiza. And that stopped pretty promptly. It stopped because I got a job soon after, which was every night of the week in BBC Radio 1. And that was a job that I'd always wanted. And it meant that I had to stay in London 5 days a week, which meant that I couldn't tour nearly as much as I did before. So that was an easy way out for me. I was like, I've got this job. I want this job. I'm going to tour less. And, I'm going to see my kid more. But what if you don't want to do that? What if you still want to tour all the time and you have a kid? How do you navigate that? That is just one of many things that I spoke to Jessie about in this episode. I went to her house. Her second baby is still very small and extremely cute, FYI. And she welcomed me and she was fucking knackered and trying to do 10 things at once. And she was really generous with her time. And I sat on the floor of her living room and this is what happened. Please enter the podcast, Jessie Ware. What is your most kind of biggest, most kind of profound memory of parenting so far? As a personal parent, like your own memory, like what is the one that you will carry with you to the grave from the last 2 and a bit years of being a parent?
My most profound memory of being a parent, yeah. And I don't know if this is too abstract, but just guilt.
Okay.
Guilt, mm-hmm. guilt. Mm-hmm. Which actually was quite interesting. That's kind of more with my daughter. I don't know whether I just don't have the capacity to feel any more guilt with working and with the second one. But it was interesting, kind of this week was a really big week for working. It was ridiculous. We were shooting the cookbook and then I was going into the studio with James Ford. And it was just one of those ones where you're like juggling and then it's like, oh, the baby's the afterthought. Yeah. My daughter's kind of sorted out, she's in nursery and kind of, you know, it works. But like the baby literally was being like passed the parcel to like mum, cleaner, husband, photographer maybe was holding him. And then I'd come back and I'd be like, okay, cool, back. And I remember the first time round with my daughter going back to work and like just kicking myself and punishing myself and feeling so upset and torn and guilty. And this time I don't think, I'm just like, oh, where's the baby? Oh, cool. Yeah, thanks so much. And it's so different this time. But the first time was so much guilt. And actually it's quite wonderful to not be feeling as much guilt this time. But like memory wise, fuck, what's your one?
I think probably the labours.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, oh, yeah, of course.
I think both labours.
Yeah, you're so right. Because and we haven't even kind of become a parent yet, really.
But because they are things that I wrote down as soon as they were done and shared with my friends and kind of the memories are imprinted in my brain.
That's so
they're the
so
ones
true.
I will bring with me because they're so profound.
That's so true, actually. Yeah. I mean, I had two very different births. I don't know about you. Did you have two very different births?
I had two very similar births.
You had really good ones, right?
I had very, very lucky births.
I don't know about luck.
Oh, babe, I was lucky.
Why do you think it was luck?
I don't know, because my cervix opened really fast.
It must have been quite
my
relaxed.
Played ball. I was pretty chilled, I guess.
Did you prep?
No.
Did you do any hypnobirthing?
No.
Oh my God, do you feel like maybe it was ignorance is bliss? You kind of didn't know too much.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of that. I think
and
it was
you're
also
tough cooking?
Inheriting my mummy's body because my mum was the same, my sister was the same. All the women in our family have had really fast, furious births. It was terrifying, but it was quick. And because it was quick, the kind of scariness didn't linger because it just happened quickly.
It's funny because actually now you say the birth, I mean, yeah, mine were both pretty different, but equally kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
And I've never felt like my husband has been more in awe or in love with me as when you are doing that and you're in it. And I've never felt as together as I will ever feel. Like you are, I'm lucky, like we were such a team and he was amazing.
I bet.
But like he said it was the best moment of his life. The second birth was actually you're sitting on the stain where the baby came.
Oh my God!
He's on the
Oh
disgusting.
My God, because you did it at home.
Yeah, we did it at home in this room.
Oh my God, babe. Yeah. I am just in awe of that. I wish I could have done that.
You know
that.
What? It was so funny because like my mum was like, take all the drugs you want. Don't be a hero. And like Sam was born in a bathtub in Brixton in a commune and like it couldn't get more kind of natural than that. And hippie and we did birth centre for the first one and the second one was in this room and it nearly wasn't in this room because I was 2 weeks overdue. So I was about to be induced and then like Matey decided to
show himself.
Show up. Mm. So that's going to be interesting to see how he is later with this attitude that he thinks he can be 2 weeks late and not piss me off. And then all is forgiven because he was well cute. But yeah, it was really amazing. And actually, you're so right. You tell that story so much.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was really lovely. We got a doula on the second one. Like, I really indulged myself. I was like, sod it. If I'm going to do it at home, then I'm going to have
it. Especially at home.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. So I got a doula, and she was asking us to, like, tell her about the first experience. And we were kind of saying, and I kind of turned it into a bit of a, like, slight rom-com,
yeah,
bit of a Larry, like, a bit of a kind of Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, like, lots of kind of comedy of errors, like, you know, me talking about Great British Bake Off and somebody being in my labour with work experience even, and just gawping at me. And it was just all, don't know anybody that gets work experience that isn't training as a midwife that can, like, be in a labour. But anyway, so all these weird things come, being sent home and, you know, and we were kind of laughing about it. She was like, that sounds really quite kind of stressful. And I was like, you know what? Like, I think it was so intense and kind of brilliant. We laugh about it now, but yeah, I think it, I've got such a positive, and I feel very lucky about that, this memory of it. But what I've done, and I don't know if you do this, I write my kid a letter every birthday.
Oh, Jesse, I don't do this. Talk to me.
But you should do this because of your memory.
Yeah.
So it kind of, because I can't remember, like, you're asking me all these things and I, like, what's, when did they first have their bit of food? I don't fucking know. When they're going to ask these questions.
I did this podcast is because someone asked me what my second kid's first word was and I didn't know.
So
I was like, how the fuck do I not know?
Right.
Already. Well, you're only 2 and a half.
No, I know, but there's lots of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And so what I'm trying to do is write them a letter every year.
Yeah.
Not give it to them yet.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to them when they're maybe 21.
Yeah.
As a present. And it's just going to be a book of letters to them. And telling them.
Oh, God, babe. That's so beautiful.
It is, you know what? It's like not the most beautiful writing, but at least I will, it will feel more memorable, like I'll remember the stuff more and remember that those weird things that they were doing, whether it's that my daughter hums herself to sleep every night or kind of the funny things that she said or what he, you know, his birth. So like the fact that you wrote down your birth, like maybe you should start writing a letter to him.
Yeah, babe,
and you're such a good writer.
A wonderful idea. Let's talk about being a parent now. I was out for dinner with T, my husband, last night, and we were talking about parenting, and he was like, he was saying that he still doesn't feel like a legitimate parent. Like,
really?
Compared to all the other parents in school, like, he doesn't feel qualified compared to them.
Why?
Because I think he's young compared to them.
How old is
where
he?
We are in Northwest London, a lot of the parents are older.
Uh-huh.
He's 34. So he had his first baby when he was 28.
Right.
So when he was going to nurse, which is totally normal.
Yeah,
He went to nursery with, like, his backpack on his back and it was all, like, proper dads in their
40s. Yeah,
and
yeah,
he was just like, I feel so, like, inadequate. And I wanted to ask you about kind of feeling adequate as a parent. And when you see another parent in the street, like when you see a mom pushing a buggy, do you identify as a parent now? Are you fully there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember somebody said the other day, because I have to bring the sling and the buggy out because my kid doesn't like to go in the buggy. So you have to have the emergency sling. And I remember I was talking about it and my friend was saying the other day, she was like, I've always wondered why somebody's holding their baby in a sling and they're pushing a buggy. And I was like, and then she said, and now I realize, and it made me laugh because I think that it is a funny old secret club and you kind of give each other a nod in the street if you're friendly enough.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a real sister. It can be a beautiful sisterhood.
Mm.
And being a parent, it's all I've ever really wanted to be.
Really?
Oh my God.
I never knew that.
Yeah. I mean, it was the thing I was most obsessed with. And actually I've struggled. I always think I'm not good enough, and I think my husband would say I'm quite hard on myself.
Yeah.
Because I always kind of I think nothing that I'm doing is ever good enough because I guess because I work so much.
And did your mum work when you were growing up?
She did. My dad was the breadwinner, and my mum did go back to work, but she was definitely more at home and. She didn't go back to work after like 10 weeks or like, you know, but she was a social worker and it was a different, she had a maternity leave.
Yeah.
And so, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, you and I have talked about this a lot. You know, you were the person that I rung up before I decided to have sex with my husband. but I was like, let me just check with Annie if this is cool. But I did. I rung you because, you know, I respected you and because, and I was like, can I still be a pop star and be a mom? Mm. And you were like, absolutely you can. It will make you far more driven. It will make you more focused. And it has, but it, to kind of a scary extent, like, but it also exciting. Like, I feel like my career at the moment is the most exciting and varied that it's been. Maybe this is the guilty mother in me, but I always feel like Sam is far more effortless at being a parent than I am. Mm, mm. Like, he just kind of does it and rolls with the punches, and I'm kind of a bit more like, it will be...
Overthinking things,
whether it's been, will be their dinner for that day, or whether it's, like, the activity that I'm going to do with them. Like, and I think it's, maybe that's me being, like, overcompensating.
Yeah.
I am very present. This is the thing. I'm making me sound like I never see my children. I'm, you know, I'm there bedtime, but like, and I'm there every day. And luckily with this podcast, like, a lot of the work has been at home, and that's been quite
wonderful,
quite terrifying about the idea of like going out for the next record, to be honest. Like, I've quite enjoyed this.
You took your daughter on tour with you, right? How was that process?
I mean, looking back, I think it's really special. I think the band and the team loved it. It was fucking expensive and I made no money, fine, but the experience was amazing. And actually it was for a very short period of time because I couldn't afford to have her and Sam in the States. And that broke my heart because it meant that I had committed to a 3-week tour and they weren't going to be able to be there. And so that saying goodbye was...
And she was how old?
She was a year and a half.
Yeah, that's very, very tough.
Yeah, and they flew out with me to Coachella and LA. So they were there for a good like 10 days because we were in LA together and it was great. But that saying goodbye, I was torturing myself and I love touring in America and I wanted to do the tour. The tour wasn't selling amazingly.
Yep.
So I was a bit like, well, I'm about to do this fucking tour and be away from my daughter for 3 weeks. She won't remember that, thank God. Mm. But I remember that being fucking hard. But the touring that we did do, it was, you know, it takes a village. Like, I brought my brother along who thought it was going to be far more glamorous than it was.
Yeah.
And he didn't realise that I was literally treating him like Uncle Alex, nanny, you need to put her to bed now because I've got to go and get ready for the show. He was a bit like, he was a bit like Kevin. He was kind of like, ugh.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. Like, you know, the photos we've got, like her in this double bed because obviously she couldn't go in the bunks, and so I'm in the bunk, I'm like, night night, and her and Sam were sleeping in the double bed having a lovely time. Like, and it was but it felt again like I felt like I never was able to give her enough time because I don't want to take myself too seriously, but like when you're preparing for a show, like you want to put the show on and you need to be that kind of enhanced version, like over the top version,
totally
performer.
Totally.
And so you had to like switch off from being like a mom. And I'm sure you get this with like DJ.
Oh, babe, my daily life. I'll get to that. You carry on and I'll tell you about my daily life and all my hats.
Like it would start. So say you'd had a gig the night before.
Mm.
Sam would let me sleep in because like sleep is so important for singing because that's what goes. As soon as you're tired, like, your voice goes, and it was quite a strenuous gig for me vocally, and so I'd sleep in, so then I'd wake up and feel immediately guilty that I'd missed maybe like it was probably like I'd wake up at maybe 10 and I'd then try and like pack in a kind of an hour of attention to her while equally trying to sort out touring stuff,
outfits, budgets,
whether we're gonna make any money with merch that night, and actually at the time I was pretty unmanaged. I was in a kind of a bit of a limbo.
That's so stressful. It was carrying all of that on top of...
No, it was stressful. It was a weird year last year. And lots of beautiful things happened I swear, I told you this though. I think I conceived after your wedding. Like that night, I was after the Benji B set.
The night of that Benji B wedding set, one of the best DJ sets I've ever witnessed.
Like, maybe I will have sex with you tonight. but I think basically the baby was conceived after your wedding.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So lots of kind of highs and lows of last year. But it was very stressful. But you'd go and play, they'd have a nap, you'd have to try and find the local, like, Hamburg play, like, soft play place, or a swimming place. Yeah. And so it was, but that was kind of fun because it meant that you tried to get out. But, like, in Prague when it was snowing, like blowing a hoolie, like, it was, my daughter did not want to be in the cold. No. And you're kind of going, right, we must explore this beautiful city. Yeah. And then she's just like, no.
I just want to watch Peppa Pig on the
exactly.
bus.
Exactly. So, exactly. And then the bus, when she'd be waking up at like 6 or 7 and then like climbing the walls.
Oh,
I mean, we had stickers, blessed. Like the bus driver was so lovely. Like we'd had paper plates. And she'd just be like sticking and drawing. And then he had like a gallery of all her artwork.
What a sweetheart.
It was really sweet. But like, it was a lot of juggling. And then you'd be kind of like, right, let's do bedtime. And then I'd be like, right, I need to go and get ready and get makeup done. And it was a lot of juggling. Mm. And then you like wanted to decompress after the show.
Of course.
And I sound like I'm moaning about it, and I'm not at all, because that was my decision. And it's a weird job that I appreciate every day. And it is really exciting. And Sam, at the beginning, was like, why the hell are we doing this? And then once you bedded in, and it kind of was like camping, and you got like into the rhythm of it.
Yeah.
He was like, this is amazing. This is magical. And I actually think it's really shaped her. She's a really gregarious kid, and she is really confident. And, you know, she'd be on like soundcheck with me, and we'd give her the mic, and she'd enjoy that. She'd go and play the bass. I mean, it was like a music class for her, but... Yeah. I'd like to think that she will look back and be really inspired to work hard and to be able to, if you work hard, you get what you want, hopefully, or you can achieve great things. But so hopefully that will be inspiring. That's the thing that I keep on reminding myself when I'm working. And
100%.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I mean, this is when, like, you wear your different hats.
Okay, talk to me.
But I think that... I don't know if I was impressed with myself or completely mortified, but when I was vocaling this song I did with Octavian... I'd negotiated with the management that, like, I was like, my baby was like 6 or 8 weeks old, the new one. And he was like, can you start at 2? Also, no, Octavian first rung me up at like on a Saturday night. I was watching Casualty. Yeah. And he's like, yo, Jessie, like, you've got to come to the studio now. I need you on this mixtape. And I was like, babe,
I'm watching Casualty
and I have 2 children. I can't just like up and leave. And I was like, we need to schedule this in. So anyway, we started scheduling it in, and they asked me to start at 4, and I was like, that's when he cluster feeds. Hell no. Yeah. And like, for them, they're probably like, eh. So
first time, like, they've ever been introduced to that
one. So I was like, okay, well, what I was asking for 10 o'clock, which was a big
PM
ask.
Or AM?
AM.
AM.
Of course I was. Yeah. I want to be in bed. But as soon as the baby was going to sleep, I was going to bed.
10 o'clock is late, mate.
Well,
not for Octavian.
No. So, no. And he wasn't even vocaling. So I was like, okay, well, I will. I'll compromise with 12 o'clock start.
Mm-hmm.
Can we make it 2? No, 12. If he's a gent, he will respect that I have only 4 hours in the studio, and this is the first bit of work that I'm doing back in the studio, and I have a young baby. No, it will be 12 o'clock. Okay, deal. I get there at 12 o'clock with my manager.
He doesn't get
there. His management get there. He doesn't get there. I'm like, where is he? They're like, he's getting in the cab. I'm like, bullshit. He's not getting in the cab.
What time did he get there? This is giving me
He got
the
there
fear.
At 2. I was so angry. I'd started the track. I'd started vocaling and writing. When he walked in, I was breastfeeding mm-hmm. and vocaling. And that isn't me being like a super mum, because I actually really struggle with breastfeeding. I think it's the biggest difficulty. Like, I found it so hard. Yeah. But I was breastfeeding because he was about to pop, like start shouting, the baby. And it's like a human dummy for him. So I was breastfeeding, trying to do this new singing. And Octavian like bowls in like, and I was like, what time do you call this?
What is it?
And he was like, and you could see, I was like, oh God, I've pushed it too far. And I was like, why do you think, do you think this is easy for me? I'm here with an 8-week-old, and I'm, you know, and he was like, because you're a G, and I thought, you are a star, and you are charming, and you are going to get away with murder, and there's me. I tried to
and
be
also,
a mum.
I'm really happy that you called me a G.
Yeah, called me a G, thanks so much.
Call me that again.
Yeah, please, thanks so much, and I really appreciate being on your mixtape, but I tried to basically mum Octavian, and I kind of caught myself, and I was like, oh, maybe I can't speak to him like my toddler. Like that.
I've had a similar situation with Pusha T, where he was an hour and a half late for an interview at work, and I had come in early, especially I'd broken the fucking school run, and he came, and it was supposed to be there at like 4. Oh. And he was an hour and a half late, and his plugger kept doing that. No, I just spoke to them. They're on their way.
Yeah, they're in the cab.
Do you know
they're
what he was doing? He was in Selfridges.
Oh, little
he was
shit.
Shopping.
No.
And he came into the studio, like, laden with shopping bags, and I was like, great. But I didn't have the nerve. I fucking wish I did.
But were you just like, really
I did make a comment.
Interview.
I was like, great, you've been shopping then. That must have been great. I just kind of took the piss out of him a bit, but I didn't be like, have you any idea what I've fucking missed for you to fucking get a Gucci shirt, you prick.
Oh my God.
I found it so disrespectful and annoying. But also, I was most annoyed with the plugger, because I was like, just tell me the truth. Like, just say he's long. And if you're going to, you know, he's long and he'll probably be another hour.
But equally,
in which case, I could have gone FaceTime my
then
kid.
And then you also are kind of angry at yourself, because you're like,
furious at myself.
I should have just fucking not broken the rule.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It was when Oisin went to school that I found it the most difficult, because I then have this job that's in the evenings and he gets picked up from school at 3:10 and I have to be in work for like 5:30.
Yeah.
So that was what I found hard, because if I didn't pick him up from school every day, I would only see him for like an hour every morning.
How did you kind of make peace with that?
So what I had to do, I started and learned pretty quick that if I didn't put my foot down really, really like strictly for work, I would just keep getting booked to do stuff in the times that I needed to be with Oisin. So I had to actually put my foot down with all my teams and say, I am not working in between the hours of 3:00 and 5:00 every day, no matter what. I'm just not working. I still haven't got to the point where I'm not contactable, and that's my next aim.
Right.
Sarah Cox gave me that advice. She was like, just say that no one can call you or email you in that time or WhatsApp you.
Really?
And I was like, that sounds a bit excessive. She's like, no, because if you're one of those people who goes to your WhatsApps, hello, can't ignore them, then your mind is not there. You are not present for your children.
I'm the worst at that.
Me too.
Because
so,
you're like, I'm here, I love you, but I'm just sorting out something that's really pressing that I just need to reply. Yeah.
All the time. So it's kind of the idea of how can you be the most present with them when you have the time with them. But Oisin, I find difficult. So I work in the mornings, I have meetings, I'll see Riley for like an hour for lunch or something. Then I will go back to work. Then I will go pick up Oisin. And sometimes I'll bring Riley with me, and it's full on. And after school, he's tired. He's exhausted. He's hungry. He takes everything out on me, which I'm happy. You know, I'm happy that he feels he can do that. But it means that we have 2 hours that are really intense of him moaning and kind of tantruming sometimes, or maybe we do a play date and it's just really, really intense managing his feelings, making sure he's okay, trying to get him to eat. And then I go to work and I have to interview Migos. You know what I mean? It's just like, what the fuck is going on? So it's the idea of like putting on all these mad different hats and kind of being able to switch hats really quick. That's the bit that I found very difficult.
Have you ever had a situation where, like, you haven't been able to switch that hat, like, that well? Like, when you've done an interview where you, like, literally want to burst into tears because you've just, like, had, I don't know, or...
Or, like, I always feel like when I get into the car, because my kids now, when they get old enough to understand that you're going to work and it's a choice, that's when it's very hard because they don't want you to go.
Yeah.
So Oisin will be like, why are you going to work? Don't go to work.
Or Riley,
who's smaller, will say, don't get dressed, mummy. Don't put your coat on. Don't put your coat on. And that is absolute torture.
Yeah.
And with Oisin, I have to say, listen, I really love my work. I really enjoy it and it makes me so happy.
Mm.
And but you find yourself going, but we're going to spend all this time together on Saturday and we're going to do this. So this constant kind of back and forth and bribery. But it's been so hard with Oisin because I have this really condensed, limited time every day, which is just when he's finished school.
Mm.
So you don't get that nice time after dinner where he's chilled and you can give him a bath.
More irritable with them.
Yeah, and they're irritable with me. Yeah. So I found that really difficult. And I've realised that parenting, it's like you can never like, I feel like it's like Tetris. It's constantly trying to make shapes of time and schedule fit into lives and move things around and shift things. And it's the idea of it being constant until they're grown, of you having to kind of shapeshift your life and make it work.
Yeah, like putting out fires and juggling plates.
Yeah.
And it really is like, you may think that you've just smacked something, like done something really sick in one area, and then you'll be like, oh, well, then I just like put the house down. I'm very lucky because Sam was just like, well, I'll take time off. That's fine. But it's so annoying, right? Because like when...
I know. Because I'm like, what a good guy. Yeah. But it's like, why shouldn't he?
Yeah, no.
Because women always take the time off. So it's like, why are we applauding the men for doing this?
It's really... And like, I appreciate everything. He's the best. But equally, what really riles me, and I don't want to just make this about rinsing my husband. I'm very impressed how he managed to do it. When he's looking after my son, he's looking after him in the sense that like, he goes to baby cinema and stuff like that. When I'm looking after my son, the son is coming to meetings and the son is kind of being held by Nina Cherry in the podcast and, you know, she's burping him and, you know, and that's me having my son. And I'm sometimes a bit jealous that he gets to go to baby cinema.
Yeah.
And he's just like, or he'll sleep when the baby sleeps because he needs all that sleep. And like, I never did that. I'm so shit.
Yeah.
Did you ever sleep when the baby
slept? I was pretty good at that.
Really?
Mm. Do you ever feel overwhelmed as a parent? Like, when I say that, I mean kind of with the responsibility of having children and bringing them into the world. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, we are always the people that forget that he has to bring a fucking pen to school or wear a certain thing nursery or all of that.
Exactly.
Forget holidays. Forget. Just we're scatty as fuck. And it's because we're both busy and we both work full time. So I feel this responsibility of kind of overwhelmingly like I could be fucking it up for him. But also just the safety of him, just the idea of, he's just this little, they're just two little things made of flesh and bone and blood, and they are fully in my care. And I don't know, just the overwhelming responsibility of keeping them safe and keeping them alive.
I have that in the car because I'm the shittest driver.
Yeah.
So like, I have that as like a really basic, like, I'm like, fuck, I got to drive her to fucking nursery today.
Yeah.
Shit, please, God, let me not crash this car.
Yeah.
We are the scattiest. She is constantly in other people's nursery clothes because I've forgotten to put an extra pair of clothes. Or they'll be like, it's forest school day today and...
You didn't bring the wellies.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, fuck, she's in sandals. Oh, that'll be all right. I don't know, man. Like, so don't worry. Like, me and Sam are exactly the same. Like, I forgot that it was, like, their trip to the farm. And, like, all the other parents were like, farm day. And then I remember this girl saying to me the one time that I did try and make an effort, I always remember my mum used to like make cakes, like probably lots of parents did when it was your birthday, you bring in cakes to the nursery or school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, sod it, like it's been her birthday, I'm gonna bring in these like really shit Peppa Pig cupcakes that she made.
Wicked.
That look, I mean, they tasted divine because they were like those sugary like cupcakes, but bless them, Peppa Pig like do muddy puddles on the top, so it's like literally like
brand
diarrhea splattered on the top, and when the toddler's doing it, it's like really sad. So I'm
cute.
Bring them in. They look like shit. They definitely are not like perfect, beautiful thing executed. And I bumped into a few mums in the entrance of the nursery, and I was like, and they were like, oh, what's that? And I was like, oh, it's like cupcakes for the kids. And this girl said to me, Star Mum Award. And I was like, oh God, do I look like that parent that's like, oh, and I felt so gross about it. And then I was also like, fuck you. Yeah,
I know, that's really passag. Yeah, I don't like that.
It was funny because I was just like, yeah, there's like, yeah, people that always kind of...
And you can't, everyone's like the constant not being able to win. You
yeah,
know?
Totally. And I was like, oh my God, do I look like the show offy? I mean, they look like shit and they tasted a bit like shit too, yeah. But they were like sugary and delicious, but yeah. Like, and equally they weren't
also,
like sugar free.
Also, why should you feel bad?
I know, but like, I think like that whole mum shaming with poor Megan holding the baby, like, fuck it. Like, she's got a fucking new kid. Like, yeah. She can do what she likes, and she was doing it perfectly fine.
Yeah.
People are horrendous.
People are horrendous. Chrissy Teigen quote, I despise mommy shamers. I am a shamer of mommy shamers. I like that quote.
I like that.
Amy Poehler, the comedian, yeah. I really love my kids for about 6 minutes a day. there's nothing more beautiful than your sleeping child.
Oh
right?
My God!
Like, oh,
so
look,
true.
You're so beautiful. You're asleep, and also I've got my free time.
Yeah, oh my God.
Okay, and last quote, and this is a good one. Adele, like all parents, my husband and I just do the best we can and hold our breath and hope we've set aside enough money to pay for our kids' therapy.
Well, yeah, and no, I'm sure she's got enough money. It's fine. Yeah, she'll be fine.
Big therapy. Do you think you'll have more kids? Have you thought about it? I mean, you're only 19 weeks into your second.
Talking about that, the first memory and me actually agreeing with you and the fact that like the birth, there was something so euphoric about that feeling. It's better than any
drug. Yeah,
it's addictive in a sense if you've had a positive experience. Yeah. Like, I can imagine how traumatic it is. I know lots of my friends have had a horrendous birth.
Yeah, and mine. Yeah.
And like for me, there was something I've never felt more goddess-like, super woman-like, elated, invincible. And for that sheer feeling, I feel... I'm looking at him and he's growing up really quickly, my second. And I think a few weeks after, when I was knackered after having him, I was like, I want to have a third one.
Yeah.
And Sam's like, really? And I was like, yeah, I want to experience that again, just because that, it was so beautiful. I was surrounded by the most incredible women. We called, his middle name is Rafa, after the initials of the midwives, because we had such an amazing time.
Oh, God, babe,
I know.
Next
no,
level.
But like, and it sounds a bit like, people would be like, oh,
no,
right,
that's
mate.
Beautiful.
But like, these women were so strong. Yeah. Like, they were incredible. Francine, Roisin, Annie, and Amy. Like, they were just like, they were, it was the most beautiful moment.
Wow.
And like, it was, I just feel like I want that again. Equally, I'll bring the child up. I won't just, you know, it'd be lovely to have them. I'm one of three. So how many are you?
I'm one of four.
So do you want any more?
I went through like an enormous, very intense phase about 6 months ago of being like, I have to decide, because I turned 40.
Right.
And I was like, I need to fucking know. I need to decide. This is it. It's crunch time. Am I going to have one or am I not?
Mm.
And I kind of said that I really did. And then I really thought I did, and my husband didn't.
Mm.
And then...
is it because you feel like you're getting your life back? Not your life back, because life
I think,
is amazing.
I felt what's the word, resentful that I had to make the decision now, which I don't. I could get pregnant when I'm 42. That's fine, you know what I mean? But I felt resentful that I had to decide, but I really felt like I needed to know one way or another. And then after Christmas, Riley started sleeping through, and I had kind of 2 or 3 months of just sleep. And I felt like I was coming out of a thick fog.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, everything's easy. Everything's manageable. Mm. Everything's feasible. You know, and since then, I haven't wanted to have another baby. Because the idea of going back is not that appealing. And also the kind of relationship between those two is beautiful. And I'm very similar to you in that way. I'm just like fucking blur about all my feelings. I'm really open to people. And everyone I met, taxi drivers, people in raves, everyone's like, what do you think I should do? Do you think I should
do? Oh my God, I've so been there.
And everyone's like, everyone was just said no, basically. But I mean, not that I'm judging, but one guy was just like, just get a dog. There's so much. Jessie, thank you so much.
Oh my God, I feel like I'm still baby brain, so I'm like, it's a bit of a blur, and we've just basically given each other a therapy session.
Parenting therapy. There's something in that.
Yeah, there is.
Parenting therapy. But yeah, thank you so much.
Oh my God, thank you.
I look forward to the record.
Oh,
I look forward to you doing it your way.
Thanks, babe.
Just make sure you come and get interviewed on my show, yeah?
Oh my God, babe. Absolutely. Well, if I can get in at the right time, because I may be doing fine bedtime.
Bring the babies.
Yes, you will. I'll be like, Gigi, okay, fine, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Thanks, darling.
Okay, so that was more like a therapy session than a conversation. I hope that you got something out of it. I hope you found it insightful and interesting. It was just so good to talk to Jessie, and I think so many new mums are really isolated, and just talking is very good. Being able to be honest with someone and feel like you can say exactly what you want about all the good, bad and ugly sides of parenting is really important. So I hope you enjoyed it. If you've got anything to say, any reactions, please email me findingannymac@gmail.com. I'm very excited to get any emails with regards to this podcast, so please send them through. Next week on the podcast, we talk about the weird and absurd world of fame. And I really wanted to speak to one woman specifically about this episode, because she came to fame quite late in life and has kind of experienced all different levels of fame. And she's fucking wonderful, and she's Irish, so obviously I love her, and she's a really successful writer and actress. Her name is Sharon Horgan. I went to her house, we had a wonderful chat about her career and her relationship with fame over the years.
I was just too sort of embarrassed at my terrible situation to go home. I think I just thought someone was gonna tap me on the shoulder and say, oh my God, you are, come with me.
Clearly you are talented and beautiful. Get on that screen.
Honestly.
Yeah.
And then I think I continued to think that for a while until I stopped thinking it, and then it was more sort of like, oh, it's never gonna happen. I'll have to find something else to do. Mm.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.